This is Vectis Radio.
For the people, by the people.
The Visit Isle of Wight Show with James and Judith. Thinking of a trip to the island? Check out visitisleofwight.co.uk today.
It's late spring here on the Isle of Wight. We just looked at the weather forecast and there's some gloriously sunny days ahead of us. And there are going to be some lovely sunny days all over the summer. Judith and I are here to talk to you today about what to do on those sunny days. And, do you know, there are two things that the island is very, very famous for. Well, there are many things the Isle of Wight is very famous for, but two in particular. One is, of course, the wonderful festivals that we have over the summer season here. And secondly, the wonderful gardens we've got. We really are, here on the Isle of Wight, Britain in miniature. And we've got subtropical gardens, we've got wonderful front gardens, we've got lots of people competing with each other for the White in Bloom competition and all other sorts of things. And you know, we're so excited that we're going to be able to tell you about these today. You just probably heard a little bit of David Guetta there. What we're going to do is try to get as many possible of the headline acts at the Isle of Wight Festival into this show. What's going to happen is the Isle of Wight Festival starts on the 8th of June until the 11th of June. Very, very popular festival, and particularly now Bestival has gone from the Isle of Wight. The Isle of Wight Festival is the one to go to. Fantastic acts. So we're going to listen to a little bit of David Guetta in a second, some Rod Stewart, some Arcade Fire, and some Alison Moyet. But before we do all that, Judith, I think it's worthwhile explaining the wonderful range of gardens that people can come and visit here on the Isle of Wight.
Yeah, absolutely, James. And I'd really, in this broadcast, like just to give our listeners a flavour. And I suppose the place where everybody would like to start is Osborne House,
yes.
Queen Victoria's summer home,
yeah,
at East Cowes. And as well as visiting the house, you can see a huge variety of gardens and planting at Osborne. So I'm going to start firstly with the formal terraces, which you will find in front of the house, looking down to the sea. Very, very beautiful viewpoint, that. Very fantastic planting there. Amazingly colourful bedding plants, set out in Victorian style and Victorian colour scheme. Quite startling sometimes to the modern eye, I find. And then below that, you have a lower terrace, which is going to be open to the public for the first time later this year.
Mm-hmm.
And the lower walls there are covered in myrtle and in magnolias. You can also see at Osborne their beautiful walled garden, which is exactly 1 acre in size, full of flowers, which would have been grown there in Victoria's time for cutting for displays in the house, and also in Victoria's time fruit and vegetables for the family and their servants.
Yeah.
Now, interestingly, every plant in the walled garden has a link to either Queen Victoria or Prince Albert, or fits in within the planting schemes and tastes of the Victorian period. And a lot of the fruits that you see there, the figs, the apples and pears, and so on, are espaliered and trained using historic styles of espaliering and training. So
they're
really interesting.
They're beautiful, aren't they? And what's more, they have rehashed that garden for this year,
yes,
haven't they?
It's really beautiful, and the walls themselves are really beautiful, and of course offer such protection. And you see the figs, for example, which are trained against the walls, just works of art in their own right.
Now, of course, this is all going to be visible on the big screen,
yes,
later this year, isn't it? Because we've got Victoria and Abdul,
yes,
the movie that Stephen Frears is directing, which is going to be set at Osborne. And we went there last year to see how they filmed it, and they actually put in a lot of plastic plants, which was a bit naughty because it was done in the autumn to make it look like summer. But the great thing is, since then, they have completely rejuvenated the lower garden. So if you go and see it late this summer, you'll see it probably as Queen Victoria had it.
Yes, well, I mean, what they've done, James, is on the terraces outside the house, they have restored the terraces themselves and the walls, and they've painted them the same sort of buttermilky colour.
Yeah.
As the house, and they're looking fantastic. And as you say, as Queen Victoria would have known them, really, I can't say how beautiful it is, and what a beautiful spot it is, and how lovely the views are from the terrace.
Yes.
If you go down from the terrace, going down towards the beach, which is now also open to the public, you come to Swiss Cottage, and here you will find what I suppose you can only describe as the little allotments, which were worked by the royal children under the direction of Prince Albert, who was very keen that they should learn domestic and gardening skills.
Mm.
And this was where the where Victoria's children planted and grew their own vegetables, and those same vegetables, the same types of vegetables, are still being grown there today.
Yes.
And what I really love down there, and please don't miss it, there's a little shed sort of on the right hand side, and if you have a little peek through the mesh in front of the shed, you will see the royal children's little wheelbarrows with their names on.
Exactly.
Really, really sweet.
And just behind that is the most beautiful bluebell wood, isn't there?
Yes, that's right. That's one of the wild flower meadows that you can see at Osborne as well. So very beautiful meadow with bluebells and primroses in the spring. And on the other side of the Swiss Cottage, there's another very beautiful wild flower meadow. There's woodland, and there's very, very beautiful parkland. So whatever sort of style of gardening you're interested in, you will find something there that you will just love, I promise you. So if you want to find out more about Osborne House generally, or the gardens in particular, and the opening times and so on, do please just Google Osborne House. That's OSBORNE, Osborne House, and you get all the details there.
Fantastic. Well, let's listen to When Love Takes Over. You had a little sample of it earlier. David Guetta, now he's no stranger to the Isle of Wight. He's going to be headlining the Isle of Wight Festival. But when Bestival was here, I heard him in his early days, before he got really, really famous, in a tent. There are only about 100 of us at about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And hasn't he done well? David Guetta and Kelly Rowland, When Love Takes Over. And it's a little known fact that was originally written by the Nervo sisters, some brilliant DJs from Australia. Now, Judy and I are here with the Visit Isle of Wight show. We're talking festivals, we're talking gardens. David Guetta, of course, is going to be headlining at the Isle of Wight Festival. It is from the 8th to the 11th of June. If you want to go, all you have to do is go to isleofwightfestival.com. If you're on the island, there should be some day tickets available as well, and there's some brilliant acts. We'll be hearing from Rod Stewart in just a moment. But let's talk from the ridiculous to the sublime. We are talking about English heritage properties with some fantastic gardens. We've just talked about Osborne House. The other main feature on the island when it comes to heritage is Carisbrook Castle.
That's right, James. Carisbrook Castle, situated at Carisbrook, just outside Newport in the centre of the island. It is the quintessential romantic castle. Mm. It was an Elizabethan artillery fortress. It was a king's prison. Charles I was held here for 14 months before his execution in 1649.
He got his head stuck in the window.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
And it was home to Princess Beatrice, who was Queen Victoria's youngest daughter.
Mm.
And one of the many things that you can see at Carisbrook Castle is the lovely Princess Beatrice garden, which is a very pretty Edwardian-style garden based on the plan of the original garden that Princess Beatrice herself would have enjoyed. Now, we're focusing on gardens today, so I'm not going to say too much about the other things that you can see at Carisbrook. I'll just mention donkeys, and I would just say Carisbrook Castle is really one for the whole family.
Yeah.
So if you'd like more details about Carisbrook and the opening times, the gardens, and you'd like to find out some more about those mysterious donkeys, then please do just Google Carisbrook Castle and you'll find all the information there.
Absolutely, and there's a wonderful walk around the turrets at Carisbrook Castle with some beautiful climbing plants there. But they have to be very careful because they do get get into the masonry, so every few years or so they have to weed those out. I think we saw that on BBC's Countryfile one year.
Yes, we did. I mean, constant maintenance, isn't it, of these properties?
It is. Well, now, from the very old to the very hot, we'll come back after Rod Stewart and a few adverts and a bit of Arcade Fire, because the Isle of Wight is very, very hot, isn't it, in some
regions?
It
is, it is.
And that means we can grow certain plants they can't anywhere else. More in a second. Arcade Fire. I give you power. And we at Vectis Radio have just given you the three leading acts on the main stage at the Isle of Wight Festival this June. That was Arcade Fire, I Give You Power, and of course they are there on the Saturday on the main stage. Before that you heard Rod Stewart, he is there on the Sunday, and on the Friday it's David Guetta. They're not the only big names there though. On the Friday, together with David Guetta, there's Run DMC and Kaiser Chiefs. On the Saturday with Arcade Fire, there's The Cooks, Jack Savaretti, Catfish and the Bottle Men, and on the Sunday with Rod Stewart, there's Bastille and George Ezra. Other people coming along, Clean Bandit and Example. There are the hundreds, literally hundreds, and it's going to be an amazing party atmosphere there, as it normally is. We are very excited about it, and a little bit later we're going to be telling you about something new for this year on the island that the Isle of Wight Festival is really helping promote, and that is Isle of Wight Pride. We're really proud that Pride is going to be happening on the island. We'll be telling you a little bit more about that later in this show, and give you details of a special show here on Vectis Radio where we're going to be talking about what's coming up in Pride. But first, we were talking about plants, and Judith went to Osborne House recently with me, and we tried to fill you in on the wonderful things to see there. We've talked about Carisbrook Castle, but by complete contrast, and this is a very small island, but on the south of the island, things are very different, aren't they, Judy?
Yes, they are, James. Yeah, as you say, we're moving now to the south coast of the island, to Ventnor, and to the beautiful botanical garden there. Now, this garden is located in an area in Ventnor known as the Undercliff. The garden faces south and is protected from the cold northerly winds by the chalk downs which rise up behind it.
I mean, this is really the Riviera of the Isle of Wight. It sounds strange, but it gets very, very hot down there, much hotter than in other parts of the country.
Yeah, I mean, it is amazingly beautiful down there, and yeah, as you say, with a real, real microclimate. And this leads to the Ventnor Botanical Gardens having an absolutely unrivaled subtropical and exotic plant collection. I mean, I know you'll agree with me, James, when I say this, but the garden is truly an immersive landscape, isn't it? I mean, you do feel transported into various other very different regions of the world.
Absolutely.
You know, the lovely Mediterranean regions. There are fantastic South African terraces. There are beautiful Australian gardens and lots of planting in the New Zealand gardens. That's very typical of that region. And it is a fantastic place to visit.
Yes.
And you feel completely sort of carried away from your everyday normal life, and you know, you feel transported away from the UK, really, don't you?
Well, you do, and you literally are being transported away, because the temperature there is 2 to 4 degrees warmer than the rest of the country, so plants can grow there that can't grow anywhere else in the rest of the country. And in fact, what they're doing is using it as a centre to sort of look forward in time to what will happen with global warming when the temperature in the rest of the country increases. So they're seeing what can be grown there at these higher temperatures we can look forward to in the future.
Yes, and as you suggest, with lower rainfall as well, and you know, plants which are hardy without too much watering.
Yeah.
And there's one particular bed I really love there, which is the lavender bed.
Yes.
There's a zillion and one different varieties of lavenders. I mean, it's really magnificent.
Well, there are two more reasons to go there, aren't there? Because they've got this lovely restaurant, Allium, which is fabulous. That's at the bottom with some homegrown plants featuring there. Garlic, of course, is one of them. And the other thing is you can park there. You have to pay, obviously, to get through the botanical gardens, and then go to probably the most magical beach on the island, which is on the other side, and that's called Steep Hill Cove.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fantastic day out, actually. If you go over to the Ventnor Botanical Garden, spend some time in the garden, and James suggests perhaps enjoy one of their lovely lunches, and then head down the steps, the other side of the garden, which takes you to this beautiful cove called Steep Hill. It's lovely for swimming. If you fancy a cup of tea by the time you get down there, there are some cafes down there too. And for me, that is a really, really magical day out. Nice. And something, of course, for the whole family. Now, if you'd like to find out more about the Botanical Garden at Ventnor, do please check out their website. It's www.botanic.co.uk.
Brilliant. And here is Alison Moyer. Do you know what? She's also going to be at the Isle of Wight Festival.
It's cold in here.
Alison Moyer. And this house. And talking of houses, there's nothing that Judith and I like better than having a mooch around other people's houses. And if you can't have a mooch around their houses, you've got to have a mooch around their gardens, haven't you?
Absolutely. And you know, you're allowed. There's an amazing scheme which I'm sure a lot of our listeners will be aware of, called the National Garden Scheme, where members of the public open their private gardens to the public generally in order to raise money for charity. And we have a lovely, lovely selection of gardens here on the Isle of Wight whose very, very generous owners throw them open for our delight between May and August. Now, the money raised from the entrance fee, which is honestly really always a very nominal amount, goes to charity, a wide variety of charities supported by the National Garden Scheme, including, for example, Marie Curie and also Macmillan Cancer Support, Parkinson's UK and the MS Society, amongst others. They all benefit. And the other thing that we really like about the Open Gardens Days, of course, is the tea and the lovely cake.
Absolutely.
Which is invariably on offer, that you can sit and enjoy in somebody else's garden without having to think, oh, I've got to get up now and start that weeding. I'd really, really recommend this as a way to get a flavour of the different gardens and different gardening conditions that exist on the Isle of Wight, because it is such a varied landscape. Very varied soil conditions, from heavy clay to chalk.
Yes.
And you can sort of see what residents here make of those conditions and the plants that they use, which are suitable for the conditions in which they are gardening.
Yeah, there's a lot of specialist planting here that's done for coastal gardeners. We've got a great friend called Jerry, the coastal gardener, and she's got a marvellous place at St Helens that sells plants specially for coastal conditions.
Yes, absolutely. Just quickly to go back to the National Garden Scheme, Open Gardens on the Isle of Wight. If you'd like details, do just check out the national website, which is www.ngs.org.uk for listings of gardens on the Isle of Wight that will be open this summer. Jerry, the coastal gardener, as James says, operates here on the island and specialises in working with coastal conditions. She has a marvellous nursery at St Helens on the island, which is between Seaview and Bembridge, very close to Ryde. Lovely selection of plants if you wanted to take something home with you as a souvenir, and she's very, very good at giving really inspirational, very practical advice. If you Google the coastal gardener, you'll be able to find out more about Jerry's nursery and details of opening times and so on.
And if you do go to the National Garden Scheme gardens, I'm warning you, they're very, very, very good. We've tried entering one of these competitions in the past with absolutely no effect whatsoever, and people really are at the top of their game here on the island.
Yeah, and not only are they better gardeners than us, they're better bakers as well. Fantastic cakes.
We'll be back in just a moment, because we've got Isle of Wight Pride coming up, and I just want to tell you a little bit about that. Sister Sledge, of course, and we are family. We're just finishing up the Visit Isle of Wight show here on VectisRadio.com, and If you want to come and visit us on the Isle of Wight, please do listen to vectisradio.com. You can get it on your laptop and on your phone and on your internet connection, wherever you are. And we'll tell you plenty more about what's coming up on the Isle of Wight. And we're very, very excited because this year, for the first time ever, there's going to be a Pride Festival on the Isle of Wight. You can find out more about it at www.iwpride.org, and it's going to be a tremendous event, not just for the LGBTQ community, but for everybody. The organisers want this to be a real fun family event where people celebrate diversity and love for one another. And we're going to be doing a lot of work here at Vectis Radio. We're going to be having a live broadcast from Pride itself. If you'd like to come along, there's so much to tempt you, actually. There's a brilliant DJ act who I absolutely adore called Freemasons, and you probably know some of their songs already. There's also going to be Scotland's finest singer and songwriter, Horse McDonald, who's going to be there. And the best thing of all, Judith, is that it's absolutely free.
Yep, that's going to be on Saturday the 15th of July.
Exactly.
At Ride, on the beach. Where else? Where better? James and I are going to be there with the team from Vectis Radio. We really hope you can make it. And if you can, please do come up and say hello. We'd love to meet you.
There are lots of events around it. For example, there's going to be a parade in Union Street at about 11 o'clock in the morning. And then afterwards, there's going to be an after party at the balcony in Ride, which is along the Esplanade as well. If you do want to go, though, please, even though it's free, register, because tickets are limited. Just go to www.iwpride.org. There are lots of fringe events around it as well, and they're going quickly. There's a drag bingo on Saturday the 27th of May. That has already sold out, and Judith and I are actually hosting a sing-along version of the film Hairspray in Bembridge on Saturday the 1st of July. That's 7 p.m. for a 7:30 start. We've already sold over a third of the tickets for that, and you can find out more about that at www.ramshacklecinema.co.uk. That's it from the Visit Isle of Wight show at Vectis. Cheerio.
The Visit Isle of Wight show with James and Judith. Thinking of a trip to the island? Check out visitisleofwight.co.uk today.
www.vectisradio.com.